One fearful admirer once proclaimed that the playwright and politician Clare Booth Luce was as feminine as a meat axe. To understand Luce's cutthroat charm, biographer Sylvia Jukes Morris spent years interviewing Luce before her death in 1987 and combing through the 460,000 items in the Luce archives. The result is Volume 1 of Morris's biography of Luce called Rage for Fame. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
Biographies attract readers for any number of reasons. They educate and inspire, titillate and dismay. But Rage for Fame, Sylvia Jukes Morris's new biography of Clare Booth Luce, exudes a twisted allure that appealed to my baser female instincts. I've never been very drawn to Clare Booth Luce. Sure, the 1939 cinematic catfest, The Women, made from Luce's play of the same name, has its moments. But Luce herself, a gold-digging, narcissistic, self-avowed fascist, never struck me as my kind of gal. Reading Rage for Fame, however, I found myself reveling in Luce's unchecked ambition. Luce's personal motto was, never apologize, never explain, which made her as frightful in life as she is fascinating in print. When Morris describes how, as a young divorcee, Luce bluffed her way into the offices of Vogue and successfully pretended she'd been hired as an editor, my jaw dropped. A few years later, Luce's mentor and lover at Vanity Fair died in a car accident. Before the body was cold, Luce had taken over his job as managing editor of the magazine. Tisk tisk, I thought, as I raced through this and the subsequent disgraceful anecdote about how Luce juggled the visits of three paramours to her vacation cottage on the appropriately named Crotch Island. I think that, for nice girls like me, reading about Luce's escapades, as well as those of her fellow carnivore in couture, Pamela Harriman, serves the same vicarious function as playing raunchy air guitar does for otherwise mellow men. It gets our yayas out. Luce's life would qualify as the quintessential American success story if only it didn't ooze such a musky scent of sex. Luce was born, illegitimate, in 1903 in a New York City tenement. Her mother, Anna, was a professional-kept woman who advised her clever little girl to attract men with her looks, but to never let them see what makes the wheels go round. Thanks to one of Anna's sugar daddies, Luce got a finishing school education. Then, after a stint working for the National Women's Party, suffragists who she dismissed as dowdy and dumpy, the 20-year-old Luce married George Tuttle Brokaw, hailed as the most eligible bachelor in New York and certainly one of high society's most diligent drunks. Matrimony, Luce punned, should be spelled matter-o-money. One child and many, many diamonds later, Luce divorced the hapless Brokaw. I prefer being alone with brilliant men, Luce once declared, and according to Morris, she certainly had more than her share, among them Randolph Churchill, Joe Kennedy, Bernard Baruch, and her second husband, Time Life mogul Henry Luce. As for women friends, Luce wasn't interested, though it's fun to read about her stinging encounters with other queen bees like Gertrude Stein and Frida Kahlo. Apart from the naughty bits, what's interesting about Luce's life is her artistic and intellectual drive. She was raised solely to be an expensive bit of fluff, but Luce, for reasons Morris can't account for, also wanted to be noticed for her mind. Even as she was gaining fame as a playwright, Luce convinced Hubby to let her be a war correspondent. She fled the Ritz Hotel in Paris days before Rommel checked in and was bombed alongside MacArthur's troops in the Philippines. Luce's journalism, says Morris, was spoiled by her glibness and need to make herself the center of any story. Apparently Dorothy Parker thought so too. Parker entitled her review of Luce's collected wartime dispatches, All Clare on the Western Front. Morris leaves Luce on the threshold of her midlife Republican hawk political career with new nations as well as new men to conquer. Surely Madonna will snap up the movie rights. Like Evita, Luce's life story would make another great fascist fashion epic.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.